Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Hallelujah. Time for words of wisdom. Plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams. It's always an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God so that we could fellowship in the word of God together as one body of Christ, many members being on one accord. I thank God for the opportunity, for allowing me to be able to do this, for allowing me to go before his people. I thank God for it. I pray that everyone had a good week, considering everything that's going on. And I thank you for your faithfulness because you have showed up again. God honors that. And our lesson tonight title is If You Want More, You Should Do More. Now that's plain and simple. If you want more things of God, you have to do more of the things of God that God has asked us to do. Plain and simple. Our lesson coming from the book of Luke. We're going to be in the 12th chapter. And we're going to expound on the 42nd verse to the 48th verse. I ask that you read the whole chapter because it has information that can help you to understand the word that's going forth on tonight is dealing with. As always, we play a song, and then we go to the throne of grace. Hallelujah. The song tonight is a song of hope. It's a song of truth. And I pray that you enjoy it and get the message what the song is saying to us tonight. The title of... The title of the song is You Will Win.
The enemy came up against your home. The enemy came up against your children. The enemy came up against your name. The enemy came up against your character. You will win, win. You will win, win. The enemy came up against your health. The enemy came up against your finances. The enemy came up against your vision. The enemy came up against your business. You will
I know we are torn. I know we are broken, but
And that song was letting you know, yes, the enemy is going to come against your children. The enemy is going to come against your home. The enemy is going to come against your health. The enemy will come against your finances. The enemy is going to do what the enemy does as long as we are here wrapped up in his flesh. So get ready. But the record also told us that we will win. And we just have to speak the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. When things not going the way you want it to go, just call on Jesus. Because they say there's no other name like the name of Jesus. Call on Jesus for that situation. Hallelujah. The mighty name of Jesus is working it out together for your good. It's holding back the weapons that's forming against you, Jesus. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father interceding for your situation right now. And he's giving instructions to the Holy Ghost to bring and deliver to you. But we have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. We have to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And we have to trust God. And our lesson tonight is coming out of the book of Luke. We're going to be in the 12th chapter. Expound on the 42nd to the 48th verse. And now it's time for us to go to God's throne of grace, where mercy can be found. Hallelujah. And his grace is always sufficient. Do you believe that God's grace is sufficient for anything that you're going through in life right now? Or do you think his grace can only do this thing or that thing and not everything? God told us in his word, his grace is sufficient. Believe it. Hold on to it. Hallelujah. At this time, we have to go to the throne of grace. And always, I have been given the opportunity to give you the opportunity if you would like to pray at this time. If you would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone, and I'll open the mic for you. This is an opportunity being extended from God. God create the opportunities for us to be of service. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our High Tower. Lord Jesus, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your mercy and your grace and your bountiful blessings that you bestow upon us day by day. Lord, the scriptures say that the outer man is steadily perishing, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. And that's what I thank you for, God, your new mercies. Lord, in your word, you told us don't worry about tomorrow because tomorrow have the evils of its own. But you got us. You promised never to leave us, nor to forsake us, that you with us through thick and thin. And God, you have a way of making a way out of no way. And for that, I say thank you. Heavenly Father, I ask that you look down upon this Bible study tonight. I know the Holy Spirit is already dispatched, and Jesus is at your right hand interceding for us tonight. And I thank you for the outcome, dear God. But Holy Spirit, I pray that you give illumination and revelation to everyone that hear the word. Lord, that they will be able to become doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for just having us to have this opportunity, dear God, because you told us you want us to grow in grace and in knowledge. And God, you performing and putting things together that we can receive it. But we got to do the work. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for allowing us to be together tonight. I thank you for being a God with all power in your hand. God, I thank you that you're sovereign. And I thank you, a lover of our souls. I thank you, dear God, because you have explained that you can't love us no more than you love us right now. And you love us in spite of and not because of. You love us with agape love. And that's dynamite, dear God. That's awesome. And I thank you. In Jesus' name. Minister Larry and Mackie, you pressed the button of prayer to pray, and I had started. So you want to take the end up. If you want, you could pray right now because there's never too much prayer.
I'll take the end, my sister.
Thank you, darling.
Okay.
So we're going to go in our lesson right now, and we have a little background. And our background is going to go like this. You see, the men who were called to be a part of Jesus Christ in a circle were very diverse men of different backgrounds and occupations. Y'all know what I'm talking about. All of the men wasn't all saved and holy, rolling, and doing everything right. But God decided to use each and every one of them for his master plan. So that should be encouraging to us that God can use anybody and everybody. And he have a purpose in doing it. You see, these 12 men, other than the traitor Judas, formed the foundation of what is today known as the church. But you see, one of the men who had an important part in this, but was not listed as an apostle, was Luke. Luke was a physician. Many times, if you ask a person a question, a name, the 12 apostles, they always start off at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But I came to let you know tonight that Luke and Mark are not disciples. They weren't disciples, but they had the pleasure of writing a book in the gospel because that's what God wanted them to do. Remember, God wants all backgrounds and everything to be represented in everything he do. You see, Luke was a doctor, and he had much prestige in the town where he lived. But oh, when he heard about Jesus, and not only did he just hear it, he believed it. So Luke was willing to give up everything that he knew. Luke had prestige, he had money, he was a physician. But he decided to follow Christ. See, Luke was a companion of Paul. So Paul probably talking to Luke, and we know Paul was really, you know, educated in the word of God because he was taught by Jesus. And he probably made a good case to Luke, and Luke followed them. And Luke was the only writer of the gospel that wasn't a Jew. Luke was a Gentile. Seeing all of us are Gentiles because we're not Jews. But how important it was for God to let us have representation in the beginning. You see, that's why I love him so much, because God covered all the bases. And he let Luke write the book of Luke, the gospel of Luke, as well as the book of Acts. Hallelujah, a Gentile. From the life of Luke, it is clear that no matter what comes or what course we have set for ourselves in life, when God has other plans, he changes our direction. Do you believe it? Have it happen to you? You see, Luke is an example of an open-minded man who was educated in his day. So he took it. He studied it. He believed it. Then he received it. And then he submitted unto it. See, that's the process we should have. Are we submitting ourselves unto the gospel of Jesus Christ? Luke probably had social status, like I said before. Oh, but when he heard about the man named Jesus, his life was forever changed. Since we accepted Christ as our Savior in our lives, have our life changed? Are we evolving in the things of God from one level to the next? We were drinking milk. Are we able to drink meat, eat meat now? Come on, y'all. Evaluate yourself. Because it's God's intention that we grow and we mature, you know. Like why a lot of people say, the things I used to do, I don't do no more. Hallelujah. So we should be adding to that list of things we used to do. We should be constantly putting other things that we may be doing that doesn't line up with God in that basket with the things we used to do. And it's a process. Everybody don't grow at the same time. But everybody should be trying their best to grow and mature more and more each day. And let me tell you this. I don't know if you ever thought about it, but there's blessings and promises in maturity. The more mature you are, the more you know how to deal with situations. Come on, y'all. That's why Paul was able to say, no matter what state I'm in, I'm content. See, the maturity make you settled, steady. It establishes you. It make you strong. It don't let you waver on the fence. It lets you walk with your head held up high, and no matter what's going on with you or around you. And people don't understand it, and they say, oh, you're so strong, but it's your faith. The maturity of your faith. Because once you truly believe God and trust God with your whole heart, and I'm coming to you as a witness, when things come on, you can say, it is well. You speak that first before you crumble. Or something else might come along and you might say, God got it. See, maturity lets you use those weapons against the enemy. Maturity gives you weapons to be able to use against the enemy. The word of God gives us weapons to deal with the enemy. James 4:7 say, resist the devil and he has to flee. What's the difference between someone every time they hear something, their knees get weak and they fall to the ground. And yet you standing straight up. And it doesn't mean that it don't affect you. Because you know who you're going to go through it with. You going in with assurance that it's going to be all right. And it might not turn out like you want, but you know God is in it. And God's will going to be done. So the outcome of whatever it is, if it don't look like what you want, if it doesn't feel like what you want, you don't have to worry. Because God allowed it. And if God allowed it, that means he's going to work it out together for your good. And then down the line, you might understand by and by. So let us go into our scripture. And the first scripture here is verse 42. And verse 42 says, "And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his Lord will make ruler over his house to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is he, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, find him doing something." And 44 said, "Of a truth, I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he has." It's talking about doing what God and is asking you to do and how God is going to bless you. You got to be a wise steward. A steward is someone that's taking care of something else until the person who it belongs to come back. You see, Jesus was with us, and Jesus had to go back to heaven to be with his Father. And everything that the world has to offer, y'all. Jesus, when he left and went back with the Father, Jesus didn't take all of the money and all of the riches, and Jesus didn't take any of that. And not only did he not take anything from this world that would seem that we would need it here, he didn't take anything, but he gave us his Holy Spirit, who will be with us and lead us and guide us and protect us. See, Jesus is giving this as a parable. Peter asked the question, and Jesus used the parable. And what Jesus was telling him in this verse is, come on, let me show you something. We are stewards and we are servants. He's saying we have a master. In this particular parable, the master was the master of the house, and the servants was like his slaves or his workers. He said, when the master leave town and go out and take care of business, what do the servants do? You know, there's an old saying, when the cat is away, the mouse will play. You know, on a job, when the boss is gone, people begin to do what they want. Jesus is telling us in his parable, what you do when your master is gone is important. Because your master is coming back. And Jesus is telling, and here the master, the man of the house in this parable, was saying, when I come back, if you did everything you want, I'm going to reward you. You know how you might get a bonus or you might get, you know, some accolades? He said, that's how you should be found when your master come back. And the Bible of God tells us that when our master, Jesus Christ, comes back and he evaluates what we've been doing, it is our goal and should be our goal that he be able to say, servant, well done. I don't know if that's important to you, but I know it's very important to me. God gave me this when I was a little girl. I don't know how old I was. And I can remember on my knees praying. And maybe I didn't understand it, but it sure sounded good to me. And I told God, when it's all over, I pray that he's able to say, servant, well done. And you got to review yourself and watch the prayers that you prayed. Because God will make them come to pass. He's been working them out as you go on in life. I can remember that. I wasn't even a teenager. But I can remember saying that on my knees, and God has never failed me. And it's not like I'm so good. And it's never been that I did everything right. But I thank God for his many blessings. I thank God for how he take care of me. And there be trials and tribulations because nobody exempt. And there's difficulty that come my way. And I just have to say, it don't matter what come my way, it's who I go through it with. That's how you hold on to the confession of your faith. But if your situation take you down every time, check your faith. If your situation make you can't operate, check your faith. And it's not that your faith is failing. So I don't want to say a person that those kind of actions, faith is failing. But you got to put the weapon on it. God gave us a whole armor. God gave us that armor. You're going into battle with self. You're going into battle and coming in with what you think, or how you feel. And the sad part is sometimes it's only what we want. And we could never get satisfied and then build them in some of those battles, because what we want might not line up with the word of God. And it might not be what God wants for the situation. And it might only be us putting our expectations on other people. You got to remember this, expectations is only good for you. Yes, we have dreams and aspiration for our children, and we have love in our heart and want everybody to be the best that they could be. But that's our expectation. And not to say the person you're praying for won't get there. But if they're not ready to get there now, you can't make them go with your prayers. God cannot change people for you. You could ask God to soften their heart. You could ask God to open their ears. You could ask the Holy Ghost to speak to them. You could ask these things, because if God changed everybody to what you wanted them to be, then how would the world be? And I don't know about you, but I know many times in life when we was growing up and maybe our parents said things that they wanted us to do, and we did the total opposite. And they was praying. But you see, everybody's got to make their own choices. God give everybody one life. When children is young, we direct them. When children is old, they're an adult. We do no longer parenting in a sense, because it give us false leadership in the lives of someone that's grown. And we always feel despondent. Or will be despondent about the situation. And what we always say, we could pray for them. Pray for them. Bring it to God in prayer. Have a little talk with Jesus and leave it there. Because if you're going to worry, don't pray. And if you got to pray, you don't need to worry. It's like oil and water. And it's true, y'all. It's truth. And verse 45 through 46 says, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord, delay him coming, and shall begin to beat the servants and maids, and to eat and drink and be drunken. 46, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him into sunder, which means cut into two, and will be appointed him his portion with the unbelievers. What they're saying is that, you know, this servant, and in our case, Jesus Christ, left to go be at the right hand of the Father, and he left us here on earth. He had already made salvation available to us. So all of us who accept it, and we have the gift of salvation, where we have eternal life. God has put everything on earth that we need to live a righteous life. And he left his Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. He didn't just pack up and leave us, so you make it how you make it. He gave us his holy word, the 66 books in the Bible. So now he's gone, and he's like they say, God sets high and look low. They're watching their children here on earth. And because Jesus is gone, is that giving you a free pass to do it like you want? Because you accepted Christ and you got the gift of salvation, and once saved, always saved, does that give you a free card to just do it any kind of way you want, live any kind of way you want? Don't study if you don't want. Don't go to church. Don't read the Bible. Don't do kind acts towards anyone else. Don't be concerned about the sick. Don't worry about the orphan and the widows. Don't do nothing but only the things for yourself. Now, God has given all of us a measure of faith. What do we do with that? Do we grow it? Come on, y'all. Have you ever had a harvest of faith? God has given us a measure of faith, and he's saying if it's the size of a mustard seed, hallelujah, it'll grow up and be the biggest plant there ever was than most other plants. So if he gave you a measure of faith and it's the size of a mustard seed, are you growing that plant, y'all? Are you non-productive? Are you barren? It's our responsibility to take and embrace and grow and get from level to level, because that's what God wants for our lives. And once we get at this level, God is just going to still be God, and Jesus is going to be at his right hand being Jesus. All of these things is to help you in this evil world. Everything is for you. God don't need to read the Bible. God wrote the Bible. Everything you do for God is enhancing you, your life, your relationships. It's for you. So this scripture told us that the master was gone away and the workers became drunk and doing what they want to do, leaning to their own understanding, and we see that in the world all over. And by saying that he was the master, if he is their master, they have salvation. But they begin to do all of these things. He said, but he's going to come and cut them off. And really and truly, they might have gave him lip service of him, but they never had a change of heart. They never surrendered to him, so they are not saved. And that's why he said he's going to put them with the unbelievers. Because you see, once we get saved and we look back in our lives, we've been saved so many years and we didn't always have it right. Oh, but one morning a thing clicked, one night or one afternoon. And you begin to realize that this is the only way. And you realize you need this. You begin to understand, I can't make it without this. And I don't want to make it without this. And I'm not trying to find out how to make it without it. So you begin to search more. You begin to look more. You begin to study more. You begin to pray more. You begin to let your life shine more. You begin to maybe stop thinking just about yourself and begin to think about others. Because everything that God has given us, it's not just for us. All of your talents is not just for you to use it the way you want to do. You see, we live in this world. And the Bible teaches us that we are in this world, but we're not of this world. Hallelujah. And on earth, God has established a kingdom. And don't go looking for it, because it's not a place per se. It's a moral. It's morality. Everybody belongs to God is in a morality state, which formulates the kingdom of God here on earth, or the kingdom of heaven, if you want to say it that way, here on earth. And that's why he gave it to us to build up the kingdom. What are you doing in the kingdom, which belongs to God? Are you like the servants here? They just getting drunk. Are they doing it? They just entertaining everything in the world and ain't concerned about the kingdom. So I got a scripture from James 4:17, and it says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and do it not, to him it is sin. So let's take an inventory of those people who think they don't sin. They got people who really think they don't sin. So let's look at them. So this scripture says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and do it not is a sin. So you might have a child live next door to you and it's cold and you see the child outside without no shoes on. And you might even talk to the child and say, where your shoes at? They might say, the shoes I had was too little for my feet. And it hurt my feet. So that's why I don't put them on. And my mama can't buy me nothing now. I won't. And I got to throw won't in there too. And you say, okay, and you go inside and you shut the door. Now you might say, and I know a lot of people say this, that child mama worked, she could get the shoes, and I see her go to the casino sometimes. But God, the opportunities that God put before you, the needs that he brings before you, he's not concerned. If God bring it to you, he know what the mother doing and not doing, but the little child still need a pair of shoes. Come on, y'all. But to know to do good and don't do it is a sin. And don't begin to penalize people because their surroundings or their relatives should be the first line of defense to help. It don't always go that way. And I know many of you can attest that to that. You may have a friend that do better than you, than your sister. Come on now. So because I have a sister and I'm in need and my sister kind of got it going on and don't help me, then I shouldn't be helped. That's not the way it go, you guys. You know, I've been single a lot of years in my life, and many of the people came to me was husband and wife. You know, and both of them might have worked, two incomes or whatever. Or the lady that I know come to me and she have a husband. So I say, well, you need to be getting it from your husband. But remember, open up your mind as far as sharing and caring. Because those who should be doing certain things, you know, don't always do it. But James say, those who know and don't do will be held at a higher standard. Remember, God will judge each man according to his own ability. Hallelujah. The idea of to whom much is given, much is required, is that we are held responsible for what we know and have. They always say, why are people always coming to me? Because maybe God gave you the most. And if he gave you so much, he is expecting you to share it. It's not how much you gather, it's how much you scatter. If you got knowledge, wisdom, understanding, and truth, other people will see that in you. So they come to you. So if you ain't got nobody coming to you to ask you for nothing, is it because you have proven that you will do nothing? The Bible says, let your light so shine that men could see the works and glorify the Father. If there's a light, the light has drawing power. A light has influence. You don't have influence on nobody's life, because you live that little sheltered life with me, myself, and I, just me and my family is all I'm going to worry about. People don't realize they set that mentality in their mind years and years and years and years ago, and their children grow up and they teach their children that. And now it's almost like you have a cult. And it's a funny thing that as it keep going, you see people start leaving the cult. And not so much separating from the family, but the ideas. They let other people in their circle. You see? But it's a spirit. It's a spirit that's thought of and a spirit that's nurtured. And people don't even realize what they're doing. You see, if we are blessed with talents, wealth, knowledge, time, and the like, it is expected that we use those well to glorify God and benefit others. In the kingdom, y'all. We in the kingdom. You see, Jesus had told us how to live until he come. We must watch for him. Work diligently for him. You see, the more resources, talents, and understanding we have, the more we are responsible. Come on, y'all. To use effectively. See, when God recognized, I guess maybe at a young age, and not just a young age, but at an older age, that you would be willing to share your knowledge, you would be willing to give a helping hand, God starts filling your pantry. And he starts expanding your knowledge. Because you see, God got to have people in place that when someone have a need, he's going to send them to them, and he know that they're going to take the time. God affords every opportunity for service and giving that ever happened in all of our lives. It's just not no coincidence, Mary, Joe, knock on your door. You know, and things like that. We got to look at the opportunities that God presents to us. And then we have to look at what we do with them. God will not hold us responsible for gifts that he has not given us. So there's, you know, but all of us have enough gifts and duties to keep us busy until Jesus returns. Stop looking at others and what they may be doing or not doing. Stay in your lane. Keep it moving. You are only responsible for you. And I'm going to say that again. You know, us doting parents, we come to the rescue of our grown adult children, 30, 40, 50-year-old children. We do that, and we can do it if we want to do it. But you're only responsible for you. God gave you the children and told you to raise as when they was a children. God gave. I have nests always, birds that nest always in the columns on my porch. And first I see the egg, the bird come and drop the egg. And then I see the bird go, because the bird got to eat, so I guess the bird leave and take care of their responsibility. And then they come back and they sit on the eggs. And then all of a sudden I can hear the egg cracking. And the birds chirping. Now the mother of those birds go out and they fly. She flies. Let me back up a little bit. When the mother knows she's going to have the little birds, she begins to get limbs from trees and build a nest. See, that's the first thing. When I see the bird coming with them twigs and I'm out, she building a nest. Something about to go down. So she build a nest. She set on the eggs. The eggs crack. The bird's head come out. And now I see the mama go in flight, going to get food for her children. Come on, y'all. And the mother feed them. And she don't feed them no 5 years. She don't feed them no 1 year. I don't think she feed them a month. I say two. I know it's not that long. I never timed it. And she picked them birds up and put them out the nest. Now, God designed that, right? God designed a way for us to deal with our children as well. He didn't tell us to leave them. He didn't tell us to forsake them. But we hold on to that. And then we always got to make it right. And sometimes there's no making right in a wrong situation. And like I just said, learn to stay in your lane and keep it moving, because at some point, you're only responsible for you. I'm not telling you don't be there for your children. I ain't telling you to stop loving them. I ain't telling you to, but understand. And pray to the Holy Spirit and let him give you understanding what he think your responsibility is for the things that you may be having in your life. It is easy to assume that only wealthy people have much to give. But in truth, we all have been given much. We have been granted the abundant grace and mercy of God, the word of God, the gift of the Holy Spirit. What God has for you is for you. And everything is not for everybody, so you got to get over that syndrome. Everybody won't be rich. Everybody ain't pretty. Ain't everybody don't even have a car, less than own, drive an expensive car. That don't mean God doesn't love you less, and that don't mean you feel less than them. But that's the way the world is. Everybody is not going to have everything. It's not intended to be that way. God is a God of variety. We should also not assume that the less we know about God and the master's will, that we will be excused. I have had people tell me, I ain't ready to go to church because once I hear about it and know it and don't do it, then I'm going to be held more accountable. Because they say, God, you know, if you don't have the information, he's not going to hold you. When you look at a bird, you know God. When you look at a flower come on a tree, that's God. So God is showing with everything he created, he is showing himself to us. Before you went to the church house, you knew good against bad. You understood good and evil. And you know what you do if it's right or wrong. As evidence in Jesus' parable, we are held responsible to know our master's will. God has plainly showed us what he requires. We should ask God for wisdom on how to use those resources and commit ourselves to expanding them according to the gifts that he has given us. God, you gave me this money. What you want me to do with it? God, you gave me this gift. What you want me to do with it? God, you gave me this. You gave me this. Lord, how you want me to handle it? God, what you want me to do? If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy. If your gift is to encourage, just give encouragement. If you have a gift of giving, then give generously. And I want y'all to know everybody don't have that gift. You know, everybody may give, but they don't give as a gift. They don't give in a capacity with a person who have a heart for giving, always trying to give and give and give. It's a gift. You give your part, is what God asks you, but there's people go way beyond that in giving because God has given them a gift of giving. Everybody don't have that. You see, if God have you in the position he wants you to lead, then do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. This is the simple responsibility of stewardship. We have been given much, And God desires us to use what he has given us to further his kingdom. The Bible tells us we should help everybody. But look what it said after that. We should help everybody, but especially those in the household of faith. But we should use it to do kingdom building and to proclaim his glory. You know, God created us for his glory. That's what we were created to do, to give God glory. That's why God said in the Bible, if you don't give him, praise him and give him glory, he said he'll make the rocks cry out. So we got to remember we were created to give God glory. And finally, I say to you, freely have you received everything you got. You received it freely. Salvation was a gift. Free. Mercy each day is a gift. Freely. Your health. Your strength. You're giving it freely. Every morning you open your eyes. So let us keep in mind, freely we have received. So let us please freely begin to give. And that's our lesson for tonight. Any comments, questions, or concern, you can say them at this time. God is truly in the blessing business, and God is just trying to get us to be the best that we could be. We know we're living in perilous time, and the time going to get worse than it is now. Y'all can believe it. Sin doesn't decrease, it escalates. So, you know, the world as we know it, you've seen these last 4 years has changed into something else. And we don't know the new changes that's going to come. God is trying to get us ready, but we got to put in the work to withstand the fiery darts of Satan. Put on your armor. Stay ready for battle. And God is right there with you. If anyone have anything they would like to say at this time, you can. If you want to add anything to the lesson, you can. If you want to give encouragement, you can. If that's your gift. Since no one have anything to say, I'm going to let Minister Elyria Mackey lead us out with a prayer attached with a benediction. And once you do that, we'll meet again on next week if God say the same.
Feel welcome.
Minister Mackey, your mic is open.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, we thank you, Lord, for this night, Lord God. God, I thank you for the word that came forth, Lord. And as I listened, Lord, my heart was filled, Lord. And I thought about the song, Fill My Cup. Fill me up and make me whole, Lord God. Because, Lord, I was like the woman at the well, seeking things that could not satisfy. But one day I heard the Savior speaking, draw from my well, for it never, ever runs dry. God, and I thank you, Lord God. I thank you for Minister Diane, Lord, who brought the word on tonight, Lord God. God, I pray for everyone on the line, Lord. I pray for those that are dealing with coronavirus, Lord God. God, we rebuke and devour on their behalf, Lord God, that you would heal bodies right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, God, I pray most of all for the household of faith, that it would increase all the more, Lord God. God, because you are worthy of the praise. You're worthy of the glory. You're worthy of the honor, Lord God. And, God, your word tells us, Lord God, that we ought to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, knowing that these outer vessels are perishing, but our inward man is renewed day by day. And your word declares that it is in you that we live and we move and we have our being, oh God. And, God, I'm asking that you would touch even every one of us, oh God, that you would continue
filling us up and anointing us, Lord, from the top of our heads down to the very soles of our feet, Lord, because your name is worthy to be praised. And I'll give you praise tonight, Lord. I give you honor. I give you glory. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much, Minister Matt. Thank you. And that's our lesson for tonight. And if it's God's will and your desire, we'll be back next week, same time, same station. Until we meet again, I just ask the word of God. I seek the word of God for you. We shall try to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When we grow, it's not for God, it's for us. It's to keep us straight on a straight, narrow road. See, it helps us to shut doors that need to be shut in our lives. It also helps us to open them doors, hallelujah, that need to be opened. You know, we'd be on a crooked road, and it helps us to walk a straight, narrow road. It's for us, y'all. So let us receive and get all we can get from God. Because I'll tell you this, if you're not dealing with the word of God in your life, you are definitely leaning to your own understanding. And that's it for tonight. And be blessed.